Governor Cuomo signed into law the first gun control legislation since the mass shooting of 20 children and 6 educators at an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut.
We saw, we learned, we responded, and we acted, and we're doing something about it. We are not victims.
The Democrats' signature came less than an hour after New York's assembly passed the bill. The Senate approved it last night. Some lawmakers have complained they had little chance to read the language of the bill because it came out late last night, just before the Senate's vote. WNYC's Robert Lewis reviewed the bill, and he joins me now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Amy.
It's a wide-ranging bill that Governor Andrew Cuomo says makes New York the leader on gun control in the nation. Help us unpack what's in it.
Well, this really is a pretty sweeping piece of legislation. There are a number of big items that will certainly grab everyone's attention. For starters, it strengthens the assault weapon ban. New York has been one of only a handful of states with such a ban. But critics have said it was riddled with loopholes. Rifles with certain military features like bayonet mounts will now be illegal. The old ban had allowed one feature per gun. People who currently do own such guns can keep them, but they're going to be required to register them with the state. The law doesn't just deal with guns, but also with ammunition. The law will require background checks for buying bullets and provide the state a way to track sales. And it's going to cut the size of magazines to 7 bullets.
Then from there are 10. From 10 bullets.
Correct, yes. Then there are mental health provisions in the bill. It's going to require mental health professionals to report to the State Division of Criminal Justice Services patients that might be a danger. The division can use that information to see if the person has guns and to possibly take those guns away. On the criminal justice side, the law increases penalties for some gun-related crimes. It also allows judges to sentence mentally ill patients for up to a year in outpatient treatment.
The text of this bill was released so late, and I'm hearing complaints now from lawmakers and from at least one good government group, Citizens Union, its executive director, Dick Daty, saying there should have been more time for this, that it should have allowed for some debate rather than these closed-door negotiations with the Cuomo administration and these very speedy votes that a public debate makes for better laws. Are there any provisions proving to be controversial?
Absolutely. Obviously, gun rights groups are incredibly upset and have come out saying this should not have been pushed through so quickly. And they were really opposed to most of these issues already. The mental health providers also really didn't get a sense of what was in there until late. The Mental Health Association of New York State, they released a fairly critical statement. They said that tying mental health to the gun control issue stigmatizes people with such illnesses. So they didn't necessarily oppose the bill, but they were concerned about that tie-in. There is a provision, interestingly, that seems aimed at cutting off controversy that we saw recently. The law allows gun licensees to opt out of having their names and addresses made public. A New York newspaper caused a big stir last month when it published the names and addresses of all pistol permit holders in Rockland and Westchester County. So this new law really seems designed to mollify gun owners and privacy advocates by allowing people to petition to have their information exempted from disclosure.
And folks would also be exempted from having their names and addresses published when they register their assault weapons under this new state registry, correct?
That's correct.
WNYC's Robert Lewis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For more on the legislation that would limit the mentally ill's access to guns, I spoke earlier today with State Senate co-leader Jeff Klein. He's a Democrat who represents parts of the Bronx and Westchester County. He co-authored the bill. Senator Klein, welcome back to WNYC.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
I understand you were the chief architect of this mental health provision.
Correct. The provision I thought was an important one because it creates an obligation to report individuals presenting serious dangers to others. Right now, under existing law, a mental health professional does not have a mandatory duty to report when one of their patients could potentially harm themselves or others. And I thought it was important that be changed. Right now, they have, in their medical opinion, the right, of course, to do that. But I think it's important that we make it mandatory. We want to make sure that someone who exhibits signs of hurting others with a gun should not have access to a gun. So we would actually require, if the mental health professional deems that that person is a danger to others, they would have to contact the Division of Criminal Justice Services, who in turn can take that individual's gun away.
So this requires a therapist who believes a mental health patient made a credible threat to use a gun illegally to report the threat to a mental health director, who would then have to report serious threats to the State Department of Criminal Justice Services. Now, talk me through that. How does that work? That's multiple layers. Who is this mental health director, and at what point does he or she determine that a report from a psychiatrist or psychologist constitutes a serious threat?
Well, the decision would be made by a treating psychiatrist, psychologist, physician, registered nurse, clinical social worker in treating a specific client. And they, in turn, would have the decision, and it's only their decision, to actually report it to the Division of Criminal Justice Services, who in turn would potentially be able to take away someone's gun or deny them a license. It also, though, allows in a six-month period that individual to petition to show, with the mental health professional, of course, validating that, that they're able to have a gun once again. And also, by the way, all the information that is supplied to the Division of Criminal Justice Services would have to be destroyed at a five-year period after receipt.
Mental health professionals, including Dr. Paul Applebaum, Director of Law, Ethics, and Psychiatry at Columbia University, quoted today in the New York Times, says this will upend patients' privacy rights.
I don't believe that that's the case because, again, I was very clear that this decision is made by a mental health professional. And if they don't believe that their client poses a danger, then they have no duty to report it.
But isn't there confidentiality, doctor-patient confidentiality? I may, as a doctor, have an opinion about your mental state, but why should I then go to the police and report you as being a danger to yourself and others?
Because the language in the bill says it's a serious danger, and that person now has a duty to report that. And again, the information is not going to be used in a widespread capacity. It's merely being used to determine whether or not that individual should have a gun.
Senator Klein, how would confiscation work? How soon would it take place? What would be that process?
If indeed, after getting that information by the mental health professional to the Department of Criminal Justice Services, they would be able to seize the gun and revoke the license immediately.
This provision would have done nothing to prevent the Sandy Hook shootings. Adam Lanza used his mother's semi-automatic weapon to kill her and 26 others. So he wasn't a gun owner, and there would have been no gun for law enforcement to confiscate. He wasn't recorded as being a gun owner.
Well, you know, when we create legislation, a statewide piece of legislation like this, we're not necessarily always dealing with fact-specific cases. But I know that I think we're making New York a lot safer by leaving it up to mental health professionals on whether or not their client potentially poses a danger and whether or not that individual has a gun.
Senator Jeff Klein represents parts of the Bronx and Westchester. He is the Democratic co-leader of New York State Senate and the key architect of a provision in the sweeping new gun control measures. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Now, just what effect would the new law have in neighborhoods with some of the highest crime rates? And as Vice President Joseph Biden prepares to release his recommendations to President Obama for federal initiatives, what's left to be done? Joining us is Bishop Willie Billups. He's known as the gang pastor for his work with the NYPD's Clergy Task Force, which provides support for victims of violent crime and often mediates between rival gangs. Hello, Bishop Billups. Welcome to WNYC.
Greetings. greetings. Good evening.
You've seen up close the damage gun violence can do to a neighborhood, particularly your neighborhood in Brownsville, Brooklyn. Is there anything in these gun control measures we've been discussing, you've been reading about, that Governor Cuomo proposed and the legislature has passed, that sounds like it would make a difference in your community?
Yes, several things. I think the first thing is the fact, the mental health aspect of it. I think that's very, very important because these guns getting in the hands of people with different mental conditions, as well as the number of bullets that are allowed to be in gun clips and things like that. I mean, we need to cut this off from the head, and I think this is a very good start
what
to
do
move
you
in that direction.
What do you think is missing from the new law?
Missing from the new law, I think it should have been more of involvement with probably with families that has been affected by it directly, having a voice in it and giving their opinion really into it. And maybe some things that as family of victims, maybe they would have been able to add another component since they were affected directly.
Thank you, Bishop Willie Billups. One thing that the new state law does not address is the flow of illegal guns from other states into New York City. That's a measure that only federal laws could properly address. Joining us to discuss this aspect is former New York Times reporter and author of Living with Guns, A Liberal's Case for the Second Amendment, Craig Whitney. Hi, Craig. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
As we're learning now from the Associated Press, President Obama is expected to propose an assault weapons ban. Why do you think that's the wrong tactic to take?
Well, first of all, a ban will be challenged in the courts, and bans of handguns were ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. and Chicago. And I'm sure that the NRA and others will do their best to overturn this one. But the most important thing to realize is that no gun control measure, not even this one in New York, which went a lot farther than I had imagined it would or could to get through the legislature, no gun control measure alone is going to rule out incidents, terrible things like the shooting at Newtown or the routine gun violence we have in New York and other big cities.
And why is that?
Because you need, as the bishop said, to deal with social issues, with the pathologies that produce gun violence, that make people turn to violence using guns. And I think it's important that this New York law has also addressed the mental health issue. That has been an issue in almost all of the recent mass shootings around the country.
Craig Whitney is the author of Living with Guns, A Liberal's Case for the Second Amendment. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is WNYC.